You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. In this episode, join us for a lively panel discussion as we explore the diverse roles of PMs in the tech industry. Discover the secrets to successful transition, community building, and acquiring standout skills in this dynamic landscape. Don't miss our exclusive podcast featuring Nitzan Shear, CEO and co-founder at Weevo, offering unique insights into the CEO role and personal anecdotes from their journey.
Hey, everyone. This is Carlos. I'm the CEO at Product School. Today, I'm here with another CEO. His name is Nitzan Shear. His company is Weevo. Welcome to the show.
Carlos, thank you so much for having me today.
It's fun to have you. You were an active contributor to our conference in San Francisco. Product was great to have you on stage live, and now we're having you on the pod.
There was an explosive conference. I loved it. So thank you.
So your company, Weevo, is really interesting. It's a UX research platform, and I know it has superpowers with AI. So maybe you can start by telling us a little bit more about what your product is all about.
Sure. Weevo was created to help product managers, designers, and marketers to make their life simpler and faster to understand what their customers need. I come from a background of a number of startups, and one of the biggest challenges has always been to get feedback on a regular basis on what it is that customers want. What are they going to think about the new products and new campaigns that we put out there? So Weevo focuses on getting that feedback in a reliable way, in a very fast way. And I'm happy to share, as of 2 months ago, as we put out the AI product, Weevo Pulse, you can now get that feedback in less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes, a big statement. I know in product, we always talk about getting out of the building, talking with customers, and it's always stressful, painful, hard to fit into a schedule, right? Even though it's extremely necessary. So trying to get those insights faster seems like a huge value proposition. But can you tell me more about how you actually get to the right insights in just a few minutes?
Yes, absolutely. So Carlos, we started the company 5 years ago. And the first product, I came to this product after joining Skype really early on. We were selling then to over 137 countries and territories around the world. Different demographics, really hard to collect that feedback, as you say. We used to have Customer Wednesday and bring the customers in to the office, give them beer and pizza. Not too much beer, otherwise the feedback wasn't good. As you say, it was hard. It's very time-consuming to do that. Usability studies, even online usability studies, processing the videos, all of that. So the first product that Weevo came out with was what we called Weevo Pro. It was a way to get feedback from 120 customers. We put together a pool of 60 million people from around the world so you can define your exact target audience. Super important to start with the right audience. Different audiences are going to give you different feedback. And we used AI to streamline the process of basically interviewing them, getting the feedback back, processing that, pulling out the most important insights so you can read that summary, those key findings, and do that without the whole process of launching, defining, writing surveys, so on. Weevo took care of all of that back end. That's a product that was with us 5 years that got us to work with multiple Fortune 500 companies, blue chip companies from around the world. Earlier this year, basically two months ago now, Weevo launched an AI product that was trained on all of that data. And that's the option we offer for 5 minutes. The feedback isn't, in this case, from live users. It's rather from simulated users. But given that we've built, basically at this point, the best trained AI for customer experience, we found, and we continuously compare it to Weevo Pro, we find that about 70% of the insights from a big Weevo Pro from 120 people are captured by the AI that we have trained to provide you feedback.
Yeah, I remember, and I still do this today, like trying to get feedback, try to spend more time with customers. Like all the steps required to actually get in front of a customer is what sometimes kills the process. Because once you are in front of a customer, it tends to be fun, right? Like you are playing with the product, you're seeing them interact with it, you are looking at ways to improve their experience. But all of the logistics that get you there and then do it at scale, it's just like no fun, at least for me as a product person. And so I see that you had, you worked at Microsoft and Skype that is owned by Microsoft. So how did they do the user research process or the feedback collection process back in the day?
Carlos, I think you hit the nail on the head on the fact that it's so time consuming. And product managers, let's face it, we're all product managers. I grew up as a product manager. We have a lot of things to do. We have a lot of people to meet, a lot of designs to write. There's just not enough time in the day. And unfortunately, many times the getting the feedback from customers is the first thing to go and sacrificed. Both at Microsoft, at Skype, I will just say it was a very diligent process. At Microsoft, we had an army of user researchers at our disposal to do it. At Skype, we didn't have that army, but we just had to do it ourselves. But in both cases, there was a long line of things that were supposed to be tested until you got it. So you would say, hey, I have an idea. Let's put the button. Let's make it green instead of yellow. They said, sure, we can test that idea in 3 months when we're done with our queue of testing ideas. And that's unfortunately the situation in many customers that we started talking to, many large companies, just a very large backlog in the user experience space to test things. And that's very sad, which is why we came out with that with Wevo Pro that enables basically anyone in the organization. You could be a product manager, a designer, a marketer, to simply say, this is the experience I want to test. This is the target audience. And you hit go. It's that simple. And then Wevo does the heavy lifting in the back end, making sure you have the right people, making sure that they're concentrating and giving you the right results, summarizing the insights, clustering the findings. So important to, once you make it simple, once you make it easy, people just use it much, much more.
Yeah. And I want to keep touching on some of those hot topics, right? One of them is the UX research team and the relationship with product. You mentioned that Microsoft, there were an army of people. And it's also sometimes tempting, right, to delegate to the user researchers to go and do their research and then bring insights and then hopefully interpret those insights and make decisions. But the reality is different. Like, I don't think is it possible to fully replace the interaction with the customer. So curious to know, what are some of the best practices to effectively leverage a user researcher when it's available, while still making sure that a product person has a finger on the pulse.
Yeah. I think you're touching on such an important point over here. There's no replacement for a product manager at the end of the day, being close to customers, understanding the deeper level of what it is that they need in order to answer their deepest desires and needs, and to what extent our product is truly addressing those needs. I think in the larger organizations where you do have user researchers, I've worked with some phenomenal user researchers that know how to set up the study, that know what tools to use. There's a variety of tools you can use and deploy. And a user researcher can be a fantastic partner for that. But to the extent the product manager, I would even say the designer, and many times the developer, at least at Wevo, we put the developers on the front line of talking to customers, or at the very least listening to the recording. So important for the product manager to hear that, to have that engagement, to face the good news and the bad news about the prototypes. I think thinking a step further, though, that and this is where I think we're in front of a very big revolution that is literally happening right now in the world outside of this fireside chat, which is, we recognize that regular usability studies and customer interviews need to continue. That is important. But there are so many instances where there isn't enough time in the day or budget or resources to conduct that. And that's, I think, where AI is going to change the picture significantly. That's where we're going to see, I don't believe AI is going to replace user research. I believe AI is going to supplement the typical user research and user interviews that we do, specifically for all of those cases where you don't have the time or don't have the budget to conduct full-scale user research.
I agree. I mean, and I as now in positions we are as CEOs, we're always looking for insights. And sometimes it just takes a long process to get to the insight and then trust the insight. So assuming that you're leveraging technology like Wevo specifically, using AI to get to those insights faster. Then the next frontier, in my opinion, is then the quality of those insights. Like, how do you go about trusting the information that you are getting, especially because now you know that not all of this has been manually connected.
No, trust in the answer is so key. I think some user research has received bad rap because it's sometimes five people in a usability study or seven people in a usability study. And then you go and present that to senior management and they say, we're going to take a $20 million decision based on what five people said. Are you serious? Right? And that's many times the case. So I'll give an opposing to that just statement. I'll give an opposing example. MasterCard is one of our customers. They've adopted now a process. They have this fairly standard process that most companies have of developing product from concept to early prototypes to design to test to launch to testing and improving it in market. They have now mandated in this process a stage gate system in which they get feedback from the customers in order to ensure that the product is ready to go to the next phase. And it's not just, hey, we'll do a few interviews. This is, we have a fixed system that we use, in this case, 120 people that we get feedback from, that gives a specific score for the concept that's being tested here. And only if it passes an 85 on a scale of 0 to 100, will it move to the next phase. That platform, by the way, is provided by Weavo. We're very proud of it, but a very close collaboration with MasterCard to create that stage gate. But now all digital products at MasterCard go through that stage gate, and that ensures them that their customers are no longer guinea pigs to try out new products that then get iterated in the market. Rather, it assures a certain level of quality that goes out to the market, the developers code, and then customers see.
And then there's another classic situation when the big-time executive thinks that they know and that this is just a necessary check, right, to move to the next phase. And I know there's a lot of things involved in like adopting this type of culture to experiment and feel comfortable, especially when you are not right. Especially for someone who tends to be right. So what are, especially you mentioned MasterCard, Fortune 500 companies, what are some of the good practices around bringing executives along and feeling more comfortable knowing that sometimes their hypotheses are not going to be the winning ones?
Yeah. Carlos, you raise a great fundamental question, I think, that goes back to culture and perspective. Way too often, and as a CEO to CEO, way too often, it's the phenomena, we're aware of the phenomena of the highest paid person in the room makes the decision. And that's very sad because so many times the CEO is very far from the end customer. They're not at the same, they don't live in the same place. They don't have the same needs. And many times that distance causes wrong decisions to be made. As a matter of fact, when we created the name Weavo, we named it after We the People Vote. We vote, we the people vote, which was the idea. It shouldn't be the decision of the CEO. It shouldn't be the decision of the highest paid person in the room, but rather let's hear what the people want to say. And I think you ask a good question. How do you develop a culture like that? I think it needs to be driven many times, unfortunately, top down. If you can convince the people at the top to adopt this culture and show them time and time again experiences where we took the wrong decision, not them, their predecessor took the wrong decision, and how important it is to get that perspective of the customer. And then the modesty, the low ego of the executive to say, I may feel very convinced about this answer, but that doesn't matter because we all have biases, right? We all read Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow, Daniel Kahneman. We know we have over 100 biases that are all built into us. And we should listen to what our customers have to say when we take very big decisions and get their perspective on ours.
I want to role play this with you as now the CEO of Weavo. I'm assuming you use your own product. So what is an example of something that you discovered through leveraging user feedback that wasn't intuitive, just based on your original hypothesis, that made you change your mind and make an important decision?
Okay. Multiple things came to mind that we learned from the product that we wouldn't have gone that way or I wouldn't have supported. I can give the most obvious one in the naming of our products, Wevo Pro and Wevo Pulse. So Wevo Pro bring the big 120, Wevo Pulse idea, take a pulse and get a quick feedback from where people are. Those names came from user feedback. It was not names that I initially supported. I was actually betting on something else, but we got feedback on that and the name was created based on user feedback. The content for, I was just thinking when we launched Pulse, the whole content and messaging framework, again, we had some ideas of where this should go and what we should say, but both from pros and for the pulses that we ran from the feedback from customers, we understood that there was a lot of content that was missing in explaining how does this work, why can it be trusted, that we knew the answers to, so we didn't think it was that important to share. But as we got questions from customers, we understood how critical it is. For instance, they really wanted to know on how it was trained. It happened to be trained on over 1 million user study participants. So we put that out there and we said, this is me trained on over 1 million user participants. It's the largest body of data set in the world that we know of to train an AI on customer experience. So that was very helpful to people to build trust.
And I guess humbling in a good way.
I'm sorry.
I guess humbling in a good way.
Humbling in a very good way. We try to practice humility on a regular basis. Wevo, one of our core values is customer first. And that means not just that we do everything to satisfy and have our customers succeed by learning what they need in order to be successful, but it also means that we put their opinions first way in before what we think is the right or wrong thing to do. And there needs to be a balance over here, of course, right? I'm not saying to have your customer create your product roadmap because there are strategic considerations. There is a SWOT analysis that you do and certain strengths that your company has. And there's a certain vision also that you want to take things. So there is a balance over here to be struck, but we try and practice that humility often.
Let's talk about that balance. I think it's another key part of, like, okay, in product or in and the CEO, like, how much of vision and just pure gut feeling is in, or you want to create versus just looking purely at the feedback or the data you are collecting. So when it comes down to things like strategy, you are setting up the vision for the next few years for your company. Like, yeah, how do you strike that balance?
Yeah. Carlos, it's an excellent question. I wish there was a simple answer for that. We continuously struggle with that on where that balance is. I'll say two things over here. One, while we have a strategy session twice a year in the company to look forward, we usually rip up the papers and the findings for that and after the session is over, because we really want to focus on the next quarter, 2 quarters, so we can run experiments and get the feedback from customers. Teresa Torres put this in her book about two-way doors. As many of the decisions we can, we try and make two-way doors so we can make it, experiment, see what it's like, and reverse the decision if need be. So we're really focused from that perspective on the near term. There are some exceptions, though. The exception to launch a product that is fully based on AI was not something our customers asked for us. What they did ask for is fast and cheap and reliable insights from customers. But they didn't say, hey, launch an AI product. That was a strategic decision based on where we're seeing the market go. I think the whole market of customer experience and design is about to shift fundamentally beyond what we're seeing talked about. To a large extent, product managers will be swept up in this as well. And I think it's an interesting conversation on what the impact of AI is going to be on product managers, because I do believe it's going to be profound. So from that perspective, in those cases, we do say, we think the puck is going to be here. Let's skate to where the puck will be, not where it is now. And that's where we prioritize strategy over day-to-day customer requests.
I love that. I think there are situations where customers can tell you what they want, what they think they want, but it's different than the ultimate solution or what you think they need. And striking that balance and ultimately having a strong point of view, which can be risky, which can't always be fully data proven, is ultimately what's needed. And I think, like, I read this from Jeff Bezos, like, the time you're trying to get to 100% certainty, you're probably late. And that they try to encourage managers to operate within 7 to 80% certainty.
Right. Gosh, I think that's a great quote. And you know, the enemy of the good is the excellent. We want to move fast. We want to build the set of hypotheses that we can break down into small increments that will test out that big hypothesis. Are people interested in this? When we started building this AI-based product, the first thing we released was really a skeleton. It was really an alpha. But we saw people engage with it. We saw people respond to it. We asked them, is this answering your needs? Why is it not? And we iterated our way there. There was a bet. I don't want to say it's like a prototype and we launched it, right? It did require probably the better part of 4 months of work to build that initial product. So not every product is slap something on a design, launch it and see what people respond, because it had to actually deliver on its promise. But we still try to minimize the scope as much as possible to see if that hypothesis is right or wrong.
Let's talk about the future. You mentioned that you have a point of view on how AI is shaping the role of product and product teams. So curious to hear your thoughts on that.
First of all, let me say, I think we're just in the first inning. There is so much unknown, and this market is changing so darn fast. Every day we're hearing and being on top of what's the news that's coming out every day is vital at this point, because the market is changing so fast. But a few scenarios or a few possibilities, one of which we have a strong belief that the market is heading that way from conversations that we're having, small companies and large. And the product manager being such a center to the nervous system of product development is going to be impacted by this, I think, in a significant way. In a way that I believe is going to raise significantly the importance of the product manager in the organization. So I think there are two roles that AI is starting to impact very heavily. It's the role of the designer and the role of the front-end developer. Every day now we're seeing companies that are doing front-end development with AI better and better. Obviously, we've all seen design become better and better with AI. There's a linchpin that's missing there for that to really click in and work, which is an AI system that enables you to know which of these designs, which of these experiences are actually good. So, you know, you can ask Dolly to produce 10 websites that help you shop for a dog walker, and it'll produce 10 websites, but you don't know which one is actually good, or if half the stuff is hallucination, it's actually bad for your target audience of high-income people that live in San Francisco, right? So the moment we will have a system that says which one of those is actually going to be good and which one of those convert, I think we're going to be closing a loop, and we're going to see much more design and coding being leveraged by AI fairly autonomously. And then the role now shifts, the center of gravity in the organization shifts to the person that designs what it is that we should be working on. What's the next product release? What's the need of a customer that we're going to address? How to do that? AI will know how to do that very well. But what it is that we should work on, which of the needs should we prioritize? Which markets should we go after? How will we differentiate? Those are questions that I don't see AI answering anytime soon. I believe that'll still be at the core of the organization. And I believe that is the role of the product manager. That the product manager is the one that's going to make those key decisions and then execute through AI doing a lot of the heavy lifting. I believe there's still designers needed and still developers needed, but it'll be more of an executional role.
I like that. And I see the connection between gathering insights through feedback and data and automatically being able to test those with market, with customers. So I've seen platforms that are already thinking about taking that next step automatically. So when a product manager receives 10 versions of something, they can go ahead and test some of them and then automatically see which ones are resonating so they can narrow down their path to success. I think that's something that today's happening. I mean, a lot of product teams comfortable experimenting. And it still takes time, right? It's the same as like getting user feedback. It takes time. So streamlining some of those steps that do not require a PhD, I think is ultimately what helps people who are in positions of power to maximize their time to make what a machine, at least today, can't do better than themselves. We'll see what happens later.
Yes, 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 so true. As you say, it's that, I think the element of judgment that is still something that us humans do better than a machine. And it's the judgment of taking in, very much like this conversation that we had today, the elements of the strategy that you want to implement, the elements that you want to hear back from the customer. How do you merge those two things together to prioritize which markets and products you're going to build? That is the crux of the role of the product manager. And I think many of the other things that the product manager does is going to be aided by AI, but staying the center of the nervous system, getting buy-in, bringing the whole organization together is still going to be a key role for, I believe, for a human to perform.
I always like this quote about best way to predict the future is to create it. And I think the role of product just has a major impact in it. And I think it's our responsibility to at least play with this new technology, to explore options, because ultimately there's no downside. If that doesn't work for you, then don't use it. But at least knowing what the options are, I just don't understand how otherwise someone can influence the future.
Yes, yes, so true. You've heard this quote before, and I believe in it. I don't think many roles will be replaced by AI, but you will be replaced by a person using AI if you don't, because that we're seeing day by day. And to this point, and I'll put in the plug here for Wevo, because we're looking for more feedback from product managers. The product we've rolled out is that instant feedback. And starting next week, I'm happy to announce we'll also have a scoring mechanism built into it. So we've now trained the AI to score how good an experience is for specific target audiences on the level of how valuable, how intuitive, and how trustworthy they find this product concept, this product idea, as a tool to help product managers take faster decisions.
And you're just making me think about CEO role with AI. And I actually believe this could work as well. And I believe that CEOs who leverage AI can be more effective and potentially replace CEOs who don't use AI, because it's just another tool at your disposal. So why wouldn't you consider just playing with it, at least for now?
Yes, yes. And there's so many ways to use it, from day-to-day gathering of information, summarizing of information, creating content, most obviously, but so many other tools and how to use it. Just, it's a continuous learning experience that's happening very, very fast. I think the challenge is, the question is, how do we create enough time in the day on a regular basis to continuously learn and pick up these new tools? Because there are new tools coming out every day and they make a significant difference.
Yeah, well, let me ask you that question back. How do you make time in the day to invest in yourself and try to stay up to date?
Yeah, non-trivial, I will admit, but I think for me, it's a ritual. Any habit that I want to do, I try to the extent possible to make it a ritual. For me, I start the day quite early in the morning before the kids wake up. But after my workout in the morning, I try to find 30 minutes that are learning time. I prefer it. I used to have it in the afternoon. I shifted it to early in the morning. I just feel my brain absorbs stuff in a much more creative way in the morning. So that's when I try and do it. If it's a podcast, it's going to be during my training. If it's reading material, it's going to be after my training, but half an hour on a daily basis.
Love that. Well, Nitzan, it's been awesome to have you in the pod. Thank you so much for your time.
Carlos, thank you for having me. It's been terrific.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.